Dismiss the young people. Now, that does not look like, I hate to judge, but it doesn't look like young people. I think it's ones trying to cheat and sneak out of church. Anyone else want to sneak out of church? Go ahead and go through this door right here. So all the young people can be dismissed. All the young people do. So, I shouldn't announce if you want to sneak out of church. It would be a good, perhaps a mass exodus. Oh, well, that's great. My son Jonathan is going to be helping with kids' meetings, children's meetings throughout the week in the evening services. And I believe it's starting on Monday night. Is it Sunday night? Tonight. Starting tonight. And they have puppets. And they have all kinds of exciting things. So it'll be a really good opportunity for the children to jump in. And it'll be good. So if you know other families as well that you like to invite, and you say, well, is there anything for the kids? Yes, there is. And so fourth grade on down, they'll have something, of course, nursery care, but then also the children's meetings there and having all the puppets. It's really disappointing when they are so excited about the puppets and not the preacher. But it is a good ministry, and we really do thank the Lord for that. A couple of other things about the week, just as we're prepared. Tuesday night would be an emphasis with the school, and of course there's a meal there. That's a good opportunity as well to invite ones. There'll be a more of an emphasis on the gospel on Tuesday night. So think of these evening services as a good opportunity. The Thursday night will be friend night, and I will definitely give a gospel emphasis on Thursday night. So have you ever sat in a service, you thought, man, if my friend, my coworker, my family member would have been here, I just know they could have been saved. At least they would have heard the gospel clearly, and they could make the decision. That's going to be what it's like on Thursday night. So the message and each service is for all of us, but those two nights specifically, Tuesday night would be a good opportunity to invite folks. Thursday night would be a great opportunity for friend night. Friday is the youth activity. It's a good opportunity to invite any aliens that you know of. So probably some type of good activity with alien invasion or whatever. So that's a good opportunity for teenagers, and we're praying that the Lord uses that as an evangelistic outreach as well. But you say, is there a bad service to invite someone? No, there is not. Okay, so there's not a bad service, but I wanted to highlight Tuesday, Thursday and Friday for the teens and the teen activity, and those are good opportunities there. At the conclusion, I'll perhaps mention some more things about the back table and some of the books and items there that can help you in your spiritual walk. You have Hebrews chapter 3, and it's page, again, 1086. Was that right, Pastor? He's going to look that up so we can make sure we have that in the hardcover black, hardcover. 1686. Let's stand, if you would, as we read the Word of God just one more time. In Hebrews 3, we're going to pick out just a few verses and go down through. Look, if you would, at verse 7. Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith, what's the next word? Today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. Skip, if you would, down, and as we look at verse 13, notice verse 13, Hebrews 3, 13. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Help me out again in verse 15, if you would. While it is said today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation. It says in verse 19, so we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. Hebrews 4:1, let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left of us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. The title of the message is Revival Today. Revival Today. We're asking God to send revival to our hearts individually, to the church corporately as a group this week. But really, we need to say, dear God, would you revive us right away, today, and draw us to you like we ought to be drawn in closeness. Help us to be right with you like we ought to be. Help us to walk with you. And Lord, help us not to miss what you have planned for us today. Let's pray and ask the Lord to help us. Father, I pray, would you give clarity to your word, illumination to the truth, and empower the preaching where it's, we all recognize it's you and your conviction of the Holy Spirit working in our hearts. Save any here that are lost without Jesus Christ. I pray that you revive believers, and I ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for standing. You may be seated. If you head on Interstate 75, heading northbound through Ohio and such, up into Michigan, and you continue, you're going to come to the top part of the main state of Michigan. And then as you would stand there, there's the Mackinac Strait. And I think it is, what, Lake Michigan on the west, Lake Huron on the east. And you see the very cold and blue water. And as you stand there, you can see off in the distance, 5 miles away, is the Upper Peninsula of Michigan, the UP of Michigan. Well, as you stand there, not only would you notice off in the distance, you could barely see the high parts of the UP, but you'll see what spans that massive 5 mile gap is the impressive Mackinac Bridge. The bridge has two main towers. These two towers suspend the entire bridge, that entire length. Incredible. From the top of the water, the towers reach 552 feet. From the water level down to the bedrock, it's 300 feet. So that's 852 feet tall, these towers. And as I did research, they said that we do not know how far down into the bedrock the towers go. That wasn't necessarily comforting. I'd rather know, if you would please. But we said we don't know how far it goes. Built in 1950s, they said it couldn't be done. It's just an incredible engineering feat. There's 42 miles of main cables, not all the cables, but just the main suspension cables to be able to suspend this bridge. As you're driving across, you're 200, admit span, you're 200 feet above the water. I remember one of the first times I ever went across. I went in a little bitty Ford Escort, 1994 Ford Escort. It's, I would say, lighter than this massive pulpit. And I was there, and winds were blowing, and I was being blown across. And well, one of the lanes in the bridge is made of this metal grating, and you could see through to the bottom. That wasn't comforting either. And so I'm driving, you know, and I'm just trying to stay in my lane and such. Oftentimes, there's been more than once, they've literally had cars be blown off the bridge. And it has happened multiple times. And so here I am, I finally get across to the other side. Well, like that, if you would imagine us in the children of Israel, more specifically first, is here they are, they're in the wilderness, and God is bringing them to a point of decision to go into the land of rest, the land of Canaan that he's prepared for them. And now they have to make a decision. It's as if they're standing on the shore and they can see that's where we need to be, the land of rest. That's not representing heaven. It's not eternal bliss up in heaven. It is representing the revived Christian life here on this planet. It is that abiding life, that abundant life, that all that God has for us right here, the land of promise right over there. But what needs to take place for them to get from here and to bridge the gap to the other side? They need to make a decision of faith. Will you trust me to be able to go over, defeat the giants in this land, and give you this land that I've promised to you? Amen. Here we are presently. We're at the very beginning of a week of services that we call Meetings for Revival or Revival Meetings. And it's as if we're standing on a shore. This shore is perhaps where we are in the wilderness experience. Things are a little dry. Devotional life may not be what it ought to be if there's anything there. Prayers aren't being answered, or if you're praying at all, for much. Joy, peace, love seem to be emotionally based rather than constantly there, no matter what our circumstances are. victory over sin, up and down. Power to win souls is intermittent and sometimes absent. But we look off in the distance and we see this is where we need to be, is revival. The abundant life where God has for us all that he has planned. For I know the thoughts that I think towards you. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. God has something planned for you that is wonderful, it's refreshing, and it's better than you're experiencing even right now in your Christian life. It's the fullness of the Spirit and full revival of what God wants for you. But we have a choice today. Will we have revival today and make the decision of faith? What bridges the gap is this. It is a decision of faith based upon the promises of God's word that, dear God, I will respond to you and take the step of faith that I need to access the revival that you want to send to me and to my church. Faith takes us across the bridge of God's word to the destination of the revived, Spirit-filled life. May God help us all to do so. As we look at this passage of scripture, I want to notice really three main points, if you will, three main things, and that would be, first of all, notice the place. Where are they? Look, if you would, the place. Verse 7, it says this, "Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith, today if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation in the day of temptation in the wilderness." Well, he's reminding them when they, Israel in the past, provocation is simply the noun form of provoke, when they provoke God, and they said things like this, "Can God furnish a table in the wilderness? Yeah, we have this manna, but can we have meat? And can God give us something substantial out here in the middle of the wilderness?" They were provoking God. You know where they are now? They're still not in the land of rest. They're still not where they fully need to be in the land of promise. They're at a place within that wilderness truly experience still, and it's called the place of, it's Kadesh Barnea. What is Kadesh Barnea? Well, the Kadesh Barnea means the place of the decision. So as we notice the place, we're noticing, number one, the place of the decision. What's the decision that they need to make? Will we trust God or not? Will we take a step of faith and believe him for what he has given to us? You see, it says in verse 9, it says, "When your fathers tempted me and proved me and saw my works 40 years, wherefore was I grieved with that generation and said, they do always err in their heart and they have not known my ways. So I swear in my wrath, they should not enter in to my rest." So he's reminding them of the children of Israel and the experience in the past when they were at the place of decision, Kadesh Barnea, and here they were. You can go over to the land of promise. You can go over there. It's just an 11-day journey by foot. You can go over there, and I'll send my angels with you. I will provide for you, and I will fight for you, and because the battle is the Lord's, it's not yours. But they have to make the decision, will they believe? Look, if you would, in verse 19, it says this. So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. It's the decision of faith. What went wrong? Verse 2 of Hebrews 4:2. "For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with," can you say it out loud? "Not being mixed with faith in them that heard it." So what we need to do is when we hear the word of God preached, "Thus saith the Lord, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." That is a promise. You can have your sins forgiven and you can be saved today. I don't know who you are. I don't know what your background is, what your situation, what you're guilty of. God in heaven does, but he's willing to forgive you for whoever would call upon him in faith. When you hear a promise, what would happen is this. Here's God's word is preached, but you need to make the decision to trust Jesus Christ as Savior. How many here, if you have trusted Jesus Christ as Savior, can you just say amen right now? Amen. You know, that's a wonderful thing. If you couldn't say that, if you don't know for sure about that, that's okay. But today you can know and we can help you so you know that you're making that decision. But as a believer now, as the Word of God is being preached, here it is again. Here are promises that are being given to you throughout this week that God, thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through Jesus Christ. There's so many things that God says, I will, I shall, call upon me for this. And here's the word of God. Now, what would happen to make it not profitable to us if we don't mix what we hear with faith? The response that God wants us to make is the decision of faith to trust Him for the area of life that we need changed right now. If you're a Christian, say, you know, Brother Miller, I know I'm saved, I'm going to heaven. Let me tell you, I know my life isn't what it ought to be, and it needs to change. You realize this, that God can change you?
That's right.
And that Jesus Christ can live through you? And that you are completely and totally free from sin right now and its dominance and its authority. And you can have power over the influence of sin that has been dominating you every single day. You can have the abundant Christian life through Jesus Christ. And you're going to hear truths like that. And we're going to say what the Bible says, not what our experience says. We're going to say what the Bible says, not what the world says. And when we say that, what do we need to do? We need to take what we hear and then mix it with our faith. And then there's something that's good. Now, I'm not a baker. I'm not a cook at all. I can do a grilled cheese, and I can do a mean fried egg, and then it stops after that. But if you say, go bake something, if it has, like, over two instructions on the back of the box, forget it. I'm the guy that, on the microwave, I'm looking for the one button. Add 30 seconds, add 1 minute. I want one button. Bing! You know that? So I'm not good at these things. But you know, as a baker, you say, okay, we're going to make a cake, a bread, and if you mix, if you take out certain elements, you don't have the proper rising element or whatever the case is, you forget something, maybe it's important, like flour, and you don't put that in, and it's not mixed with all the other ingredients, the final product is not what was intended on the box. You see, our decision today should be a decision of faith. Notice the place of decision. Secondly, let's notice the people of hardness. Here is the people of Israel, and they're hardening their heart. Notice in verse 8, it says, harden not your hearts, as in the provocation. And they do always err in their heart in verse 10. They're always erring and going astray in their heart. Verse 12 says this, take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end. While it is said, today if you'll hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation. Let me ask, is your heart hard or soft? Are you responsive to God's word? Now, please don't make excuse. Please don't give some type of smokescreen, but just being honest before the Lord, could you say, my heart is pliable. My heart is soft. If God speaks to me today, I'm willing to respond in faith. And oftentimes when we respond in faith, we need to recognize there is something wrong with me. There is some sin. An evil heart of unbelief is how the Bible described it. An evil heart. But exhort one another daily and take heed, verse 12, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief. Do you realize the heart of unbelief is evil? It says it's an evil heart. Romans 14, 23 says, whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Hebrews 11, 5 and 6, it talks about by faith, Enoch pleased God. It says, but it is impossible to please God without faith. It's impossible. You try to do well. You try to do good. God is not looking at your life as a Christian or someone that's still seeking and searching for the answer for about heaven and Jesus Christ. God doesn't look at you and say, oh, you did this meritorious deed. You're impressing me. Good job. No, no, no. The only way to please God is to say, dear God, I can't. I'll deal with my sin, and I trust you to help me do what I cannot do for myself. It's an evil heart of unbelief. The Bible talks about the disciples after they heard that Jesus has risen from the dead, and Mary had told them, others on the road to Emmaus had told them, and Jesus then appears unto them. They said, no, it's still not true. And it says this, that Jesus upbraided them for their hardness of heart and unbelief. How do you harden your heart? When you hear God's word, and you hear God's word, and you hear God's word, and you don't mix it with the step of faith. The step of faith includes the will to decide to obey. It is being a forgetful hearer. You say, well, I've learned that, Brother Miller, and I know that. Well, that's fantastic. But you need to say, dear God, what is my response? What does my response need to be today to your word? I will obey by taking the step of faith. When we don't take a step of faith, we disobey. Let me ask this. This is not a trick question. We don't need to get into super deep. But let me ask this. Here they are, Kadesh Barnea. God says, this is the land of promise, land of rest. I want you to go into there, and I'll defeat the enemies. Okay, yes or no? Was it God's will at this time for this people, at this place, to go in to the land of promise? Yes or no? Well, there's one that was confident. Others say, are you tricking us? No, I'm not tricking you. Okay, would you say, if God said, go into the land of promise, and I'll fight for you, this is what I prepared for you. Yes or no? What would you say? Yes. Okay, yes. I didn't trick you. So yes. Did they? No. They disobeyed God by not taking the step of faith. Sometimes we think, well, you know, it'd be so good to trust God. It'd be such a blessing. Well, it would. Your life would be so much better. But let me just tell you this. It's sin. Because sin is... this sin of unbelief is not taking God at his word. If I were to say something simple like, why, what, my throat's a little dry? I didn't have a water bottle. No, I did. I had two water bottles given. There's another one here. And I say, I'm so sorry, folks. I can't continue on. I'm a little dry. I'm going to go through here. Do we have water fountains anymore? We probably have them in museums. This is before COVID. We had these devices that spread germs, and we don't have a bottle or tank or whatever. Okay, so if I say, hey folks, I'm so sorry, but I'm gonna have to pause the message. I have to go get a drink of water. I'm gonna go find the water cooler, and I'll be back. And so I walk out here. I go through the door. I do this just so the live stream people and the camera people stay awake. Otherwise, if I stay back there, it's very boring for them. And so if I go through that door and I say, oh folks, hey, just stay right here. I'll be right back. Now that would be awkward, wouldn't it? Say, yes, that's very awkward, okay. But I'm out there. I leave the mic on. You hear me taking the drink of water. A few moments later, I walk back in. The door closes, and I come back up. Now, if you say, wow, did you see that, Brother Miller? He came back just like he said he would. I would be offended. I just said I was going to go and do this awkward thing, and I'll be back, though. And if you wouldn't trust me, I'd be offended just as a human. That I was just telling a simple thing. I was going to tell you the truth. When God Almighty, who spoke the worlds into existence, when Jesus Christ, the creator of this world, the same one, when he comes back and he fights the enemies of this world, he will fight them with the sword of his mouth, the words that he speaks. When this God speaks, and we do not believe him, it is sin. And we just need to admit it. God, I'm not where I ought to be because I'm not trusting you like I ought to. Would you notice the place of decision? But notice the people of hardness. The people, what's hardened their heart? They've heard so much. Yet, they haven't responded obediently by taking the step of faith. We used the verse last night in our prayer time, break up the fallow ground. Hosea 10:12. Break up the fallow ground. It could be ground that has not been used, or it could be more so ground that has been used in the past, but it's been plowed and such, but maybe a season or two has passed, and now it's been hardened. And so you need to bust it up again. Let me ask, is your heart soft, pliable, and ready? You see, Brother Miller, now, I think it needs to be broken up. Can we get just real specific? You know, when we come into services like this, one of the fears that we have, for whatever reason, is the preacher going to ask me to come forward? And that's such a big deal. Is he going to ask me to come forward? Now, there's a reason for having an invitation. There's a couple of reasons. One is you can always get help from God's Word. Pastor, different pastors and the counselors are available to you to be able to talk to you and share with verses and say, you're not alone. Look, we all struggle, but God can give you the victory just like he's given me, and here's some promises. Or perhaps you're here today and you don't know Jesus as your Savior. You can get help in the invitation at the end of the service by talking to someone in a side location, a gentleman with gentlemen and a lady with ladies, and just having the Word of God open and showing you. You can get help. You know another thing the invitation is? Not only is it help to you to get those questions answered, it's good encouragement. It's encouragement to your pastor. It's encouragement to others to also respond and make the decision. And I believe sometimes it's just good for us to say, you know what? God's spoken to me, and I don't think it's God that's telling me not to respond, perhaps respond even in the invitation. Not every service would it be appropriate to even come forward. That's fine, but my question is this, is your heart soft enough to do so? When's the last time your family members have seen you trust the Lord and respond in a tender way, even in a public invitation? Dad, oh yeah, Dad, if God speaks to Dad's heart, he's gonna respond. Or is it, I don't know if I've ever seen my dad respond to God's word. Mom, oh yes, she is sweet, she's gracious, she's so tender. If the Lord Jesus spoke to her, she would do it. I don't know if my mom's ever responded. How about young people and teenagers? You know, when's the last time you just responded to what God's spoken to your heart about? 6 months? A year? A couple years? Regulations? We're not talking about those things and all of that. But just a softness to respond to the preached word of God. Would you be willing to say, God, I can see that I've let a layer of hardness be built, and even more so, I don't want my heart to become so hardened that when the word of God lands, it doesn't penetrate. I want to be soft. Why don't you make that decision today? Would you notice the people of hardness? And then finally, would you notice the present urgency? We notice the present urgency in verse 7. It says, wherefore, as the Holy Ghost said today, and throughout the word of God in verse 13, while it is called today, today if you will hear his voice in verse 15. So do this decision right now. This is so important. Today is the day. Now is the time. There are ones here that perhaps you need to trust Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. That means this. You see, all of us, when we're born sinners. And as a person having a sinful nature, we choose to sin as well. The Bible says, because of this, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, or fallen short of God's perfection. We now are sinners before a holy God. God is holy and perfect. He can't allow our sin into heaven. In fact, our sin must be paid for and punished. And the payment of our sin is death. The Bible uses the word wages to describe it. For the wages of sin is death. Death always means separation. To be able to be separated. When your body is separated from your soul and spirit, then you have physical death. When you're born, though, physically, as a baby, you're born spiritually dead. What do you mean? Spiritually, your spirit is separated from God because of your sin in your heart. You're separated from God, even as a baby. I remember witnessing to a man. He's up in years, and he was bedridden, house-ridden, but he could get out of bed. And I said, sir, would you recognize your sinner? I'm not a sinner. He thought because he's not out partying and drinking, and he's not robbing banks, he's not a sinner. And I said, sir, the Bible says all have sinned. Well, I'm not a sinner. I said, sir, look, even a baby, when the baby is born, is a sinner. He says, you mean to tell me that a little pure, innocent baby that I could hold in my hands is a sinner? And I said, yes, sir. He said, I don't believe it. I said, sir, did you ever have any children? He said, no. I said, I understand why you don't understand. If you've had kids, you know you have sinners. Okay, do you ever have to teach your kids? Okay, this is how you say no to daddy. Okay, are you ready? This is how you rebel. Okay, I know, I need you to be a little more selfish. Say mine. No, you put two children in the nursery with 1,000 toys. They're going to be fighting over the same one. Mine. No, mine. Why? Because we're sinners. Because of that sin, we're separated from God. But thank God, he loved us so much that he sent Jesus Christ, his own son, to die in our place for our sins. The Bible says this, I deliver unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins, according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day, according to the scriptures. I can say, based upon God's word, that Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins, and he paid for all of them. None of them are still waiting to be paid for by you. Jesus paid for all of them. Then does that mean we're all automatically children of God going into heaven? No. There needs to be a response. What's the decision? The decision of faith. For by grace are ye saved through what? Faith. For by grace are ye saved through faith. That it says, not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Would you recognize that the decision of faith is what allows someone to enter into heaven? Now, again, we said going into the land of promise is not entering into heaven. But let me tell you, there are people that have missed because they didn't mix it with faith. In Hebrews 4:1, it says this, let us therefore fear. Because if you hear that you're a sinner, your sin separates you from God, Jesus Christ paid for all of your sins, and there's one decision, one response God is waiting for you, is to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. It's a simple decision of faith. If you hear that and reject, then the Bible says this, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, but he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. You know when God wants you to be saved? It's right now. Right now. Today. For he said, I have heard of thee in an time accepted. In the day of salvation I have succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Right now. You see, God's made an appointment for you to be here right now so you could hear and how you could be saved. But there's a second appointment coming in your life. And the second appointment is Hebrews 9:27, and it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment. And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment. Let me ask, when is that appointment for you? We don't know when it is, but we know it's on our schedule and our calendar. There's a big question mark. Appointment with death. Now, maybe, perhaps, before we would pass on, the Lord Jesus could come back. He could have come back 10 years ago, folks. He could come back, could have come back yesterday. There's nothing holding back Jesus' rapturing the church. It's imminent. It could happen today. But perhaps we would live and die before that takes place. Would you say, when's your appointment? You see, the Bible says in the Old Testament, it says, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. Your soul will die. It doesn't say your life, your body. It says your soul. You see, if you die without Jesus Christ as your Savior, death means separation. Your soul is separated from God forever and ever and ever in a place called hell, the lake of fire. You don't know when the appointment is for death for you. You could have a long life. You could have a shorter than average life. But would you say today, I need to make that decision. I need to accept Christ right now. I remember speaking to that same man, Floyd, the elderly gentleman, and as I was doing so, I said to him, I said, you need to trust Christ as Savior. He said, no, I just don't want to make the decision right now. I don't want to make the decision right now. I said, sir, you need to do so right now. So I just don't want to make the decision right now. I said, well, it's a decision. I don't want to make a decision. I said, well, if you don't make a decision, then that is staying where you are in your sinful condition, and that means you're deciding no just by being passive. And I said, I just don't want to make a decision. So I had two envelopes off his coffee table, and I said, let's have these two represent something. First of all, we have this one represent the ticket to heaven, eternal life. And this will represent the ticket to hell, eternal separation and death. I said, here's the ticket to heaven, eternal life. Here's the ticket to hell. I said, which one will you choose? He said, no, I don't want to choose. So would you take the eternal life? Will you accept Jesus Christ as Savior? Would you, by faith, recognize that you're a sinner, but he can save you and he's the only one? Right now, would you trust him to be your Savior? He said, I don't know. I asked him like three times. I'm getting very pointed. He's 94, 93 years old. He can't get out of his house. How long does he have? I don't know. But the appointment with death is coming. He just doesn't know when that is. So I said, sir, which one will you take? He said, I don't want to decide. So I took the ticket representing the ticket to hell, and I just let it drop on his lap. And I said, sir, you just decided. Now, that was the only time I've ever done that. I've never done it since. did not do that before. When the pastor and I left his home, we were so grieved, and we were just quiet. We drove for miles without even talking. We prayed for Floyd to be saved. And, I got a call 2 weeks later, and the pastor said, hey, you remember Floyd? I said, yes. He said, I went over to visit him again, and I said, you remember that evangelist? Oh, yeah. I said, what do you think now? And he went through the gospel plan, and guess what? Floyd chose the right ticket. And he trusted Jesus Christ as Savior. And I said, amen. I was driving down the road. I remember getting the news. I said, yes, that's wonderful. 2 weeks later to the day, I got another call. And the pastor said, remember Floyd? Oh, yeah. Well, he cashed in his ticket today, and he's in heaven now. 4 weeks from the time that we met and met him, he didn't know the appointment for death for him was 4 weeks away, but that's when it was scheduled. But thankfully, in time, he trusted Christ. Will you trust Christ today as your Savior before it's too late? Let me ask you, as a Christian, would you see that now is the time for us to wake up? Now is the present time for us to seek revival. Romans 13:11, the Bible says this, and that knowing the time, that now it is high time to wake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. Now, wake out of sleep. When we're unrevived, when we're just kind of coasting through life, when we're not experiencing the victory and the abundant life that God has intended for us, it's like we're just in the slumber, the sleep. Have you ever been in a fog spiritually? I have. Things are unclear. You can't figure out God's will. You're not clearly seeing truth from God's word. You're just in a fog. You say, God, help. Why don't you do that today? Say, God, I've just been in a fog. I've been in the slumber. I need to be revived. Lord, right now. Folks, if we don't say right now, then when? Look, if the last couple years hasn't woken us up to the need of the hour, both for the church and for the lost, what will it? Things can get worse. But would we say now, dear God, help us to seek revival? Why don't you make these meetings and the services number one priority? See, I don't normally come on a Sunday night. I understand that. But why don't you say, we're going to make it to the priority tonight. I'm burdened about the message this evening, and then Monday especially. I'd encourage you, if you're going to make two nights, come Sunday night and Monday night and say, dear God, would you just draw my heart to you? I know it's busy with school. I know it's busy with work. Clear your schedule. Make it, you know, eat afterwards. Eat quick. Whatever the case is. But what are we doing? We're making the most important thing in our life. Otherwise, we don't know how much time we have left. If you don't start inviting people to the services, if you don't start witnessing, if you're not going to see, I need revival right now, when is it going to take place? How much time do you have? I don't know how much time I have, but the urgency of time has just been pressed upon my heart in a very real way lately. Seems like every scripture I open talks about now, today. Do you realize this? The children of Israel are at this opportunity to go from Kadesh Barnea into the land of promise, 11-day journey, and God says, go in now. And when they said no, he said, okay, wander in the wilderness for how long? You can say it out loud. Wander in the wilderness for how long? 40 years. An 11-day journey, 40 years. And then when they're in the wilderness, you know what some of them said? We'll believe you now, God. We'll trust you now. Can we get back in? You know what he said? No. No? That's right. No. Well, I thought we could get a, you know, maybe, no. The window of opportunity is closed. How many opportunities have you just totally missed in the past? God told you to speak to that person, and you didn't do it. And it's past. I came home from school one day. I was a 16-year-old, maybe 17. I was able to drive. I got back in, and my mom said, our neighbor is sick, and you should go to see him in the hospital. 16 and a half, 17. I'm scared to go to the hospital. I'm scared to give the gospel to someone in the hospital. I said, well, you know, I've got practice and homework. How about tomorrow? I came back tomorrow. The next day. And she said, he's worse. And they don't think he's going to last long. You should go to the hospital and give him the gospel right now. Well, you know, I got all this load and, you know, I'm trying to do this. Just smokescreen excuses to hide the fear in my life, in my heart. The next day when I came home, she said, our neighbor passed away. Now, I don't know if my neighbor is in heaven or hell right now. But if I were to guess, I'd say he's not in heaven because of me. You know how many years I've thought about that? We said, well, I don't know him very well. We've never had a meal together. That opportunity, that window, shut. Because I missed it. How many of you missed? We just need to get real and real urgent and say, God, help us right now. I was having a bad day last week. I mean, I've spent hours and days working on trying to get some logistics, accounts, things ready for some of our area-wide crusades, or kind of like city-wide crusades in years gone by. We're We rent a location and several churches come together and are very evangelistic. We have two scheduled, and I was feeling the pressure of them and trying to meet all these deadlines and haggling with people. It was a bad day. So I said, well, I'll go in and I'll go over to my in-laws. My wife is already over there. I'll go in and see my father-in-law. He's in his man cave. And his little, lazy boy, watching old Western. He paused it as I came and I sat on the bed. You know what he didn't do? Even though he has stage 4 cancer in his lungs, in his spine, in his stomach, in his lymph nodes, and in his brain, he didn't complain. When I looked at him, I thought, I'm looking at someone that potentially could see eternity very soon. And he recognizes that. And he has a good spirit. He handed me a folded piece of paper. It was a check. It was a gift towards one of our crusades. Here I am, so distracted with the busyness of deadlines, and doing this and doing that, and it's for the ministry. So often, I miss the urgency of right now. You don't know when your appointment is, folks. Neither do I. So let's not put this off seeking God. Would you say, dear God, I will respond today to see revival, and I will obey you how you've spoken to me. Let's bow for prayer. Father, I ask, would you give your grace and your strength and your help? And Lord, I pray that right now we would recognize the importance of seeking revival today and making it a priority. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, let me ask just a couple of questions, and I will ask if you would raise your hand in response. Question number one, who here would say, Brother Miller, there's one thing I know for sure. I am saved because I've trusted Jesus as my Savior. I know I'm going to heaven. If that's true for you, can you raise your hand all throughout the room? I've saved, I've trusted Jesus, I know I'm going to heaven. That's fantastic. You can place your hands down. Is there anyone here that couldn't raise their hand? Myself would be looking. I'm going to ask Pastor to look, but no one else would be looking. Is there anyone here that would say, Preacher, I don't know if I'm on my way to heaven or I've never trusted Jesus. Would you pray for me? Anyone like that? I don't know for sure I'm on my way to heaven or I've not trusted Jesus. If you could, would you just slip your hand up and let me pray for you? I won't embarrass you, but right where you're seated, I will pray for you. Anyone like that? I don't know if I'm on my way to heaven or I've never trusted Jesus. Would you please pray for me? Anyone like that very quickly? Okay, let me ask next. Dear believer, that would be most, if not all of us, let me ask these questions. Did God speak to you about not trusting Him, about an area in your life, a sin of unbelief, not getting victory, not getting prayers answered, whatever the case is, but a sin of unbelief? If God's spoken to you about confessing the sin of unbelief and trusting Him in an area for you, would you raise your hand just right now all throughout the room? God bless you. Praise the Lord. Well, that's wonderful. Anyone else say, God's spoken to me about trusting Him in an area in my life? God bless you. Good. And you? Wonderful. And you? Good. Wonderful. Anyone else? Anyone else? Good. God bless you. That's great. That really is good. That's an encouragement already. God bless you. Let me ask next. Who here would say, Brother Miller, God's spoken to me about priorities and urgency and they're not what they ought to be. But today, I want to say that I want to seek God right now and make what is most important. And God spoke to me about priorities and urgency right now. Can you raise your hand throughout the room? God bless you as well. Many, many hands about that. Praise the Lord. You can place your hands down. Would you look this way? Would you look this way? In just a moment, we're going to stand. I'll pray. And then after I pray, we'll have the musicians play. We won't sing at first.